In 2020, Animal Outlook, an animal advocacy nonprofit, conducted an undercover investigation of a Holden Farms pig breeding facility in Minnesota. What they found was harrowing. Decaying pig corpses strewn about the hallway, starving piglets trying to nurse from their lifeless mothers, and perhaps worst of all, a heinous practice in which pig feces are blended with the intestines of their dead piglets and fed back to them. The Animal Legal Defense Fund, or ALDF, an animal law advocacy organization, reported this gruesome case of animal abuse to the authorities at once, but they didn't stop there. In order to take the matter into their own hands, they filed their own false claims suit against Holden Farms. Several years prior, Holden Farms secured $2.57 million under the CARES Act after certifying they were not engaged in any illegal activity at their farms. However, substantial evidence from Animal Outlook shows consistent violations of Minnesota's Federal Swine Health Protection Act. Under the False Claims Act, the ALDF can sue on behalf of the government. This is just one example of how the civil system can act as an alternative avenue to fight for animal rights. Private tort claims like this one allow individuals to hold corporations accountable for their cruel acts by hitting them where it hurts, their wallets. It is times like this, when local law enforcement chooses to look away from the brutality, that we turn to the varied opportunities of tort law. Although far from perfect, the use of tort claims to challenge animal injustice is becoming more widespread and may be the long sought after bridge between individual voices and the courtroom.
My name is Jack Waltheus, and I grew up in a town surrounded by got milk and beef, it's what's for dinner ads. I've even tackled the 50-ounce steak challenge twice. Now, before starting this podcast, I was unaware of the immense challenges faced by animals. In the U.S., 9 billion land animals are raised and killed for food each year, and millions of animals are used for research enduring unimaginable cruelty. Many animals on commercial farms are confined to tiny spaces. Pigs, for instance, live in areas no bigger than their bodies. Imagine living your life in a closet while standing upright with just enough space to do a 360, if you're lucky. Cows, pigs, chimps, and other animals are often separated from their mothers immediately after birth, leading to a life of loneliness. A quick Google search on animal cruelty will show thousands of other examples of the cruelties animals face daily, so it's natural to ask, how is this not illegal? Now that's an interesting question. There are actually numerous laws that exist currently to protect animals. These are criminal laws that, if broken, come with a fine for the violator. While these laws do exist to protect animals, they have many exemptions and often go unenforced. Enforcement is hampered by a lack of resources, and reporting can be difficult due to fear of retaliation. For example, a Pepperdine Law Review article discussed the Animal Welfare Act, one of the earliest animal protection laws. The law aims to protect animals being tested, but exempts rats, mice, birds, farm animals, and all cold-blooded animals from the protection. These animals make up 90% of animals tested. Fines under the AWA also act as a slap on the wrist, not a major punishment. In 2013, China Southern Airlines illegally and improperly transported over 1,000 monkeys without permission. Over a dozen monkeys died, but the airline was only fined $26,000, likely only a fraction of the profits they received for the transport. The University of Pittsburgh provided some insight on how to better protect animals. To provide real protection, we might need to transition to civil law, but this method faces some initial barriers. Professor Vesland from the Vermont Law and Graduate School summarized the barriers well.
Their suffering is not something that can be considered an injury for in court because they're not legal persons. If you think about it this way, because they're property, they can't suffer.
The first step is giving some animals some rights. Great apes, like young children, possess self-awareness and a theory of mind. If we protect young children by law, why not these intelligent creatures? Opponents argue that protecting animals would harm the economy. However, granting some species greater protection doesn't mean giving them human rights. While the long-term goal is to provide animals with legal rights and protections, animal rights advocates must find creative ways to seek relief for them under current law.
Now that we know a little bit more about animal cruelty and how it intersects with the law, let's talk about false advertising lawsuits and how they can be used as a creative way to protect animals, specifically farm animals. To give some background, false advertising laws exist to ensure that consumers receive the information they need to make the market choices they want. Animal advocates have done a lot to change the way that consumers think about the foods that they are purchasing. Consumers are more concerned than ever with the content and origins of their food, and this drives their purchases. However, if sellers can deceive consumers through false advertising, these animal advocates' efforts will have been for nothing. False advertising claims are also a great way to hold the companies producing our food liable for their mistreatment of animals and help change how these animals are treated. Most of the cruelty that we see and that we will talk about today comes from industry standard practices that are legally tolerated because of the exceptions in the criminal system. We want to talk through a few cases that the ALDF has brought against companies claiming false advertising of their products. The first case we want to talk about is one brought against Trader Joe's. This lawsuit was brought against Trader Joe's alleging that they were deceptively labeling their cage-free eggs, which violates California's consumer protection laws. The store's egg carton showed images of hens in wide-open pastures with green grass, but in reality, the eggs were produced by hens that had no outdoor access. In response to this lawsuit, Trader Joe's ended up pulling the misleading packaging from their California store locations as well as nationwide. Next was a case brought against Hormel Foods, the makers of Natural Choice deli meat. This lawsuit brought light to the company's misleading statements made in their advertisements. If you've ever seen their slogan or advertisements, you would recognize words like natural, honest, and clean, all being used. The company's slogan was even, make the natural choice. Meanwhile, they were using additives, hormones, preservatives, and nitrates in their lunch meats and bacon. Although these are two great wins for consumers, not every case is an easy win or a win at all. Another case was brought against Tillamook. The company advertised itself as a sort of co-op of small farms throughout Oregon. However, most of the company's milk comes from over 30,000 dairy cows being kept in incredibly inhumane industrialized conditions. Both the trial court and appellate court agreed that the proposed class must be limited to consumers who had demonstrated reliance on alleged false advertising. The ALDF argues that all consumers paid inflated prices for Tillamook products, regardless of if they were specifically motivated by the cooperative's marketing, and that this request severely limits the class of consumers who could be compensated. This case is currently on appeal in Oregon. As we can see, these types of suits can be a great way to not only protect informed choices, but also bring awareness to the cruelties that these animals face. Bree, do you think these suits have contributed to meaningful improvements in living conditions for animals?
Yes, I absolutely think so. False advertising suits are one creative way that attorneys have been able to overcome barriers of tort law in advocating for animal welfare, such as the fact that animals don't have standing to bring suits themselves. And although these types of tort suits are sometimes criticized for being a slap on the wrist for giant corporations, monetary damages aren't the only way to make a difference. Sometimes these courtroom victories lead to even more significant change through legislation. California is an excellent case study as to how effective tort law has been in facilitating change and protection for animals. Perkins Coie is an international law firm that publishes annual reports on food and consumer packaged good litigation. According to these reports, California is usually second only to New York for the most class action filings related to false advertising, with the vast majority of these cases involving food. In 2018, California included Proposition 12 on their state ballot, which would impose specific requirements such as living space requirements for pigs and hens. By an overwhelming majority of votes, Prop 12 was enacted that year. False advertising tort litigation represents one factor that likely influenced the way Californians think about animal rights. Though the law was quickly challenged by meat producers, including the National Pork Producers Council, in July of this year, the Supreme Court affirmed previous court rulings, holding that Prop 12 did not violate constitutional interstate commerce requirements. This represents one of the most significant animal welfare victories in U.S. history. This brings me to one of the most important points about the role of tort law in advocating for animal welfare, and that is that lawyers have a special skill set that enables them to give voice to the voiceless in situations like this. Professor Pamela Vesland, who specializes in agricultural animal law and teaches at Vermont Law School, explained this eloquently.
There's something really beautiful and incredible about having the skills and the tools that attorneys have to be able to try and represent the interests of anybody who's being exploited or discriminated against or treated unjustly including animals. And I do really feel like it is kind of a superpower to have a law degree. We know how to navigate this system. And most people don't know how to give voice to their emotions in strictly legal terms. We can do that, right? How cool is that? I believe in incremental change as being the way to really truly change people's hearts and minds, and those, including those of legislators. You know, good things happen. They do happen slowly. And I think a lot of it really has to do with convincing legislators that this is something that really matters to us.
In his article, Improving the Law for Animals, David Thomas writes that only a creative use of the law can surmount the industry-centered laws that have created an exponential increase in animal suffering. It is up to lawyers, Thomas argues, to innovatively apply the law to advance animal protection. Surveys have shown that more and more people believe the exploitation of animals is cruel and unethical. Ultimately, these are the voices that shape our juries and legislatures, providing us with the hope of overturning the industry and trade-centered laws that dominate our legal system. That is the hope animal rights lawyers keep in mind as the case of the LDF versus Holden Farms moves forward. Cheryl Leahy, the executive director of Animal Outlook, said she is leaning on the standing of the public in demanding an end to animal cruelty and the industry that profits from it, hoping the American people can keep them accountable. It is our job as consumers and American citizens to make our voices heard. If not in the courtroom, consider supporting the fight in your local grocery store. Choose products made by companies committed to cruelty-free practices. Avoid factory-farmed options and buy from local farms. And if at all possible, consider buying and consuming less animal products. With each new victory, we are reminded that our voices matter. So why not use yours for good?